Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches, and that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us in this endeavor or want other information about the program or Jim Andrews, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Visit our archives there and listen to any program you may have missed. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. We will repeat this info at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. Our email address is jimandrews@thefinalwordradio.com. And now, Jim Andrews.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue our exposition of the book of Proverbs. We pick up with Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. But first, this personal word. Friends, embedded in every blessing is a burden. For me, I always say it is an enormous blessing to share God's word with you. But with that blessing comes also the heavy burden of funding this broadcast ministry. If God has enabled you to lift some of this burden, the announcer will tell you at the end of the program how you can contact us and partner with us in maintaining this broadcast. I will tell you up front that you can contact me directly at 503-699-9840. Or better yet, you can go to our website, www.thefinalwordradio.com. There you not only find out our contact information, but more about The Final Word, and you can access our archive so that you or any of your friends out of our broadcast area can listen conveniently at any time you would like. Do know that we always love to hear from our listeners. We hear from so many of you. We're delighted, and we thank those of you who kindly contribute to sustain us. Now we pick up with Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline. The wise Solomon says that you may be wise the rest of your days. This is another way of telling us that a good head starts with good ears. People who listen well always see better. Get started in life on the right foot, and it will greatly increase the odds that you'll be able to stay there all of your days. The other day, someone was talking about a meeting they were in, talking about a certain individual who is competent in many ways, but they said the individual talked and talked and talked and talked and talked, and most people just sat and listened and listened and listened. Well, some people talk more than others, and they're not all stupid, but somebody who just goes on and on and on and on all the time and doesn't stop to listen. That's always a key point. Will they listen? Can you interrupt them? Will they really listen? But oftentimes, this kind of person never really listens. Solomon tells us that a good head, a really good head, starts with a really good ear. Those who listen well, I repeat, always see better. So if we're smart, get started on the right foot in life, listening, and you're more likely to stay there all of your days. Verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. The wisdom here is this. You and I can plan, and we can think that we are in control. But in the final analysis, friends, the will of our sovereign God will prevail. Now that is no excuse not to plan and do our human due diligence. But it is the best of reasons to never think that we are in control and can overrule or overturn God's plans. Plan, in other words, but don't be arrogant. And that reminds me so much, in quite different words, of what James says in his brief epistle, where he writes of those who arrogantly plan their way, but with no cognizance that God really rules. Come now, you who say, chapter 4, verse 13, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city. We're going to spend a year there, and we're going to engage in business and make a profit. Sounds like a typical American entrepreneur, visionary type, the type that's always in control and loves to be called a visionary. But James tempers all that by saying, look, I paraphrase Slagley, you don't know what your life is going to be like tomorrow. What do you mean? Talking, come on, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city and spend a year there. We're going to engage in business. We're going to do this and that. And 5 years from now, we're going to da-da-da-da-da. Dummy, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. Get a life. Stop and think. I'm paraphrasing, you know. Look, Mac, you're just a vapor that appears for a little while on this earth and then, poof, vanishes away. Be smart. Instead, what you ought to say if you were prudent and humble, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin, besides being stupid. So yes, I say again, in verse 21, what Solomon is telling us is that we can plan and we can imagine we're in control, but in the final analysis, it's the plan of God that will prevail. And that's no excuse to go passive and not to do our due diligence and not to plan. But it is to say we should never think that we can overrule or overturn or ignore God's plans. So plan. Do your due diligence. But in the process, as James says, don't be arrogant. Verse 22. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than to be a liar. This is telling us that when you and I go shopping for social virtues, put loyalty right up there. The word kindness can be translated loyalty and probably should be in this case. Choose poverty any day to perfidy, to deceptiveness, to lying deception. A liar and a schemer rates low on heaven's food chain. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. We've seen this theme in different words redundantly. It's meant to make an impression, to at last, passing over our consciousness many, many times, to seep in and to help shape the lineaments of our character and our perceptions. Solomon is telling us the fear or the humble reverence for the Lord is the best security blanket going. And the first evidence of the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, the opposite of which is to love good. The fear of the Lord, Solomon tells us, greatly calms the troubled spirit and quells 10,000 founded fears. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's the foundation, and you build from there. Verse 24, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and he will not even bring it back to his mouth. In other words, the sluggard, the lazy person, lacks even the most basic initiatives to succeed in life and sustain himself. We don't want to be like that. And furthermore, if we're in a position of responsibility, it's telling us, you don't want a sluggard in your employ, and you don't want a sluggard on your staff. You don't want to lean on a sluggard, like Israel used to try to lean, for example, on Egypt, or Judah tried to lean on Assyria. You don't want to lean on a sluggard, because just know this, a sluggard is a sluggard. And because, by definition, one is a sluggard, he lacks the most basic initiatives to succeed in life, to sustain himself, or to help you and I. Verse 25, chapter 19. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. The mocker is as impervious to wisdom as beating a rock with a whip. It is like pouring water on pavement. The best one can hope for is that some may splash on the simple, the naive, and improve his understanding. But the scoffer or mocker is incorrigible by definition. But just reprove the wise when he errs, and he will profit forever. The wise are not perfect, but the wise are people who fear the Lord. They make mistakes, but when they make mistakes, when they err and they're reproved, they have the ears to hear, and they will forever benefit. It's always so good to find somebody like that. You correct them, and you find how they humbly and I must say often gratefully receive it, and to see them benefit from it, and to tell others about it. Those are the truly wise. Verse 26, he who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Offspring who abuse their parents are scumbags par excellence. When you see it, you know the type you're dealing with, so take note. The wise will keep their distance from the type. People who cannot respect those who most deserve it cannot respect anything, much less the sacred. They can't even respect their parents. You know they can't respect God. Verse 27, Proverbs 19. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. The ability to keep listening, to keep your ears on to the voice of discipline, whether it's physical or circumstantial, the ability to be self-critical, to honestly evaluate, is crucial to staying tracked with the Lord. You know, some folk are nice, but they're dense and dull of hearing. Their minds are all made up, and they don't want any new facts to confuse them. Yet, they're basically nice people. They believe what they want to believe rather than what the Scriptures would teach them. They do not deny the Word outright, but they deny it indirectly by taking refuge in the certainty that there are surely other interpretations. You've heard it, and you recognize it. These are people who, though they may be nice socially, they just cease to listen to God's discipline, and when they do that, they will stray from the words of knowledge. Verse 28, a rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. You can't depend, in other words, upon bad people to produce good outcomes. The administration of justice depends upon the discovery of the truth. Liars and people with corrupt motives are bad servants of truth and justice. One has to take that kind with a high degree of skepticism. Finally, 19:29. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of fools. Everything in life, in other words, needs its proper mate. As long as there are fools, there must be, in God's providence, punishments. And if we insist on playing the fool, we must be prepared to pay the price. Now we come to chapter 20, verse 1. Solomon tells us, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. In short, alcoholic drink is a bad master. When in control, the alcoholic drink, it unleashes all the sins in the flesh from impiousness to viciousness. So if one is prone to excess in this habit, better to stay away from it altogether than to get carried away by it even once. Who knows the damage one drunk might leave behind? Wine is a mocker. Don't forget it. Strong drink, a brawler. And whoever is intoxicated by it, referring to drunkenness here, is not wise. Watch excess in such matters. Verse 2. Solomon says the terror of a king is like the growling of a lion, referring to a context where there was absolute monarchy. He who provokes him, the king, to anger, forfeits his own life. The lesson here for us in this Proverb 22 is to respect authority. Don't tempt it or don't bait it. Clearly, we don't live under an absolute monarch. We live in a democracy. Our shape of government is a little different. Nevertheless, those who do not respect authority can find themselves in a whole lot of trouble. Have the common sense to know when you're overmatched. A mouse should never tease an elephant. Life is full of mismatches. A wise person knows one when he sees one, and he doesn't run out and throw himself vainly on the sword. That's the lesson. Proverbs 23, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man. but any fool will quarrel. A fool is the kind of person who can tear down a house, but remember, folks, it takes a carpenter to build one. Strife is destructive, and fools stir it up. Strife mongers are fools. A wise man avoids quarrels as much as possible, because quarrels are rarely, if ever, constructive. They're just contentious and just make stubborn wounds and drive intractable wedges between people. Fools like to keep a fire going. They thrive on heat, not warmth. They love to watch things burn. They're the kind of people who loathe themselves, and they take it out on others. About 19 years ago, I remember taking a man aside who was a church elder, not for long, but he was a church elder. And he just kept meddling in things, and I had some of the staff come to me and say, "Would you call him off?" Well, I did. I called him into my office, and I said, "So-and-so, you know, you just like a controversy, don't you?" And to my amazement, he admitted it forthrightly. "Yes, I do," he said. "I just feel that I'm at my best in crisis." Well, actually, he was at his worst. You see, he was a man who just enjoyed strife. And over the years, I've seen a lot of those, even among Christian people. They're just bored people. They're often people who are unhappy with themselves, and they just like to see others at each other's throats, and so they keep it going. Well, keeping away from strife is not a dishonor. It's an honor for a man. But what this fellow could never understand was the second line of that couplet, "Any fool will quarrel." He just loved a quarrel. I remember another fellow one time. I said, "You like confrontation, don't you?" He said, "Yes." I couldn't believe my ears. Yes, he liked it. I said, "You know, I think that's pathological. There's something wrong with a person who won't face confrontation when they need to do so. But I mean, to actually like it, that's not good. That's sick," I told him boldly. And that's what Solomon is saying. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. "The sluggard does not plow after autumn, so he begs during the harvest, and he has nothing." A sluggard can't get it moving. A sluggard's a procrastinator. A sluggard's always putting off till tomorrow what he needs to do today. That's what Solomon means when he says he does not plow after the autumn. And consequently, because he waits until it is too late, he has to beg during the harvest, and he has nothing. He comes up empty. Don't be a sluggard. Verse 5, "A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out." Some things may be down deep and may be hard to access in the hearts and minds of others. But people of discernment, people of understanding, of wisdom, they have a way of getting underneath the surface and finding out what is really going on. You know, in so much of our human activity and dialogue and debate and conversation, we just listen to what's on the surface. We just see what is on the surface. It is what one pastor calls the presentation problem. People come to us, for example, counseling, and they present us with a problem. But the wise, the discerning, the prudent begin to understand after a while that what people are ostensibly coming to talk to you about is not what is really on their minds. They learn to look deeper, and that's what this proverb is saying. Don't just look at the presentation problem. Don't just look at the tip of the iceberg. There may be something else going on. And if you really want to understand, if you really want to help, then you need to get down to what is the real problem. And that takes a little patience, and that takes a little probing. In verse 6, Solomon says, "Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man?" How true that is. There are all kinds of people who loudly proclaim that they're loyal friends. But actually, what Solomon is telling us is that those who proclaim their loyalty are a lot fewer than those who actually are. So we must not always just depend upon the fact that people have assured us of their loyalty. We must take a lot of that with a grain of salt. Very few are those who, in a pinch, are really going to stand up for you. Now, some of you may not appreciate unions and that sort of thing, and I can understand that in a lot of unions and their behavior. Same thing could be said about management. I myself do not appreciate. But I came from, as I mentioned many times, from the state of West Virginia, and my roots are working class. My wife's roots are working class. Her father was the president of the local OCAW union at one point early in its history in this Union Carbide plant where he worked for, I think it's about 39 years. But I remember when he got disillusioned with the whole thing. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. He was a man of principle, and Union Carbide, I don't mind saying it, was not an ethical, it was not a moral outfit. It was everything that people hate about the corporate world, and it actually exploited those men back there in a terrible way. I could amplify upon that, but this is not the place. In any case, there was some labor management issue, and as president of the union, my father-in-law, absolutely certain of the loyalty of his union brothers, stepped out, really stuck his neck out, and he was fired. Turned out to be only temporary because they had no good excuse for doing so. But what so disillusioned him and made him cynical about the loyalty of his union brothers is that when they were faced with loss, possibly the loss of their jobs, well, they just went under the table. That's the way it is many things in life. Don't be too sure when people proclaim their loyalty. Certainly if someone can take a marital vow and then 50% of the marriages end up in divorce, that tells you something about people's faithfulness, their loyalty, even when they take a sacred vow. Well, that's what this is talking about. Many a man proclaims his loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? To use an old expression, they're really rarer than hen's teeth. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after them. He creates for them a great legacy, not a legacy of wealth, but a legacy of integrity, and that is far better. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses evil with his eyes. A spirit of justice, armed with great authority, has a way of disarming and dispersing those who have evil intentions. Those are two great allies, a heart of justice and a handful of authority. The trouble is, they don't often come together. Power has a way of corrupting, and so justice has a way of getting perverted. But you bring a king together armed with authority, or somebody who has king-like authority, and a mind filled with the spirit of justice, now that is a formidable combination. And those with malicious intent disperse like birds flee from a fowler. In verse 9, Solomon says, "Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin?" God owes no man anything. All of us are sinful human beings in his sight. Our consciences may be clear, but our moral record is not. In the purest streams, there is always sediment in the bed. So in the purest hearts, there is to the eye of God unimaginable corruption, not visible to us. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick, so who can understand it? So let us cut others some slack. We are dirtier than we know. And let us assume that we are guiltier than we know. Let us thank the grace of God, without which none of us would stand for a minute before a holy God. Thank you, friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word, remember, is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us in this endeavor or want other information about this program or Jim Andrews, please visit our website at www.thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is jimandrews@thefinalwordradio.com. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this broadcast outreach.